The Gemara in Krishas and Daf Tes points out, Chazal tell us that we learn the laws of Geiras from Matan Torah. We learn the laws of conversion, we learn out the Dinim, the laws from what happened to the Jews at Matan Torah. And let me add a little bit before Matan Torah. But the different components to the conversion process. Number one is, if you're a male, that is, you need a milah. One of the components is a milah for the Geirus process. Where do we see milah? By Har Sinai or before Har Sinai? That's what Chazal tell us. That's what happened for the Jews in Mitzrayim by the Karban Pesach. That in order to eat from the Karban Pesach, we know all the Yidden got gemalt. And the Gemara learns out that was the milah. That it's a general halacha the poskim talk about that a milah l'shem mitzvah could also count for a milah l'shem geirus. That's why if you're a moel, therefore if you think someone is in the process of converting or they, let's say one parent is Jewish and you think when you do the milah, because generally you can't do a milah on a guy, so that's a separate issue. But someone you feel might be in the process. If you do a milah l'shem mitzvah, so then retroactively that could also count, at least b'dieved, for a milah l'shem geirus. So either way, so that was the first step we see. They did the milah for the Karban Pesach. That counted as a milah l'shem geirus. The next step, or another component, we'll get to the order next, is tefillah. Where do we find tefillah? Where do we find the Jewish people immersed in the mikvah before Matan Torah? So Gemara struggles trying to find the source. It rejects the couple, and the Gemara's conclusion is based on a pasuk in this week's Parsha, Mishpatim, you got it, that when it says, Vayikach Moshe es Adam, the Moshe took the dam and he sprinkled it on the people. In other words, the Gemara has a principle, anytime There's a tradition before you do hazah, the sprinkling, ein hazah b'li tefillah. There's a klal in the Gemara that we know before you do this process, it's always preceded by the mikvah. So we learn out that the Jewish people at Maimar Har Sinai had the tefillah. What else was done? So another component of Bris Mila we don't have today, but it was a component, was karbanos. Ger had to bring a karban. One of the components of tefillah was to bring a karban. So if they had to bring a karban, so we don't have a base on mikdash today, so there should be no more gerim bizman hazeh. We should not have converts today because you can't bring a karban. So what do we do with that? So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, v'chi yagar l'doro seichem, the Gemara learns up the pasuk by karbanos talks about that we have a gerim for future generations. And God knew that there are times that we're not going to have a Beis HaMikdash and not to bring a karban. So the Gemara learns it's only a din l'chadchila when you could bring a karban, so then that's a component. But bizman she'ein Beis HaMikdash kayam, so then we learn out that it's not li'ikuva. It's not an obstacle in performing the gerim. In fact, post Beis HaMikdash, the original practice was a convert had to put aside money for the karban, and hopefully during his lifetime, the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, and that would be considered like the beginning of bringing the karban. But Rav Yochanan Mezakeh realized they weren't taking good care of the money, and that was money set for hektish. It was causing more harm than good, so he nullified the takana. He said, okay, forget putting aside money, because it's where the money is being abused, they're not treated, being moel behektish, so therefore they stopped it. So therefore, bottom line, you know, a ger, we take gerim today, you don't have to bring karbanos. What other component? We have milah, tefillah, karban. What else, what other processes there in the conversion process? I'll give you a hint, we learned that from this week's parsha. People don't realize it's in this week's parsha, they think it was in Parsha's Yisro. Two famous words that was said at Har Sinai. Correct. So the other component is Kabbalah's mitzvahs, which would sound obvious. How could you become a ger without Kabbalah's mitzvahs? So where do we find it? Nasa v'nishma, when the Jews said at Har Sinai, we will do and we will hear. So that's the source for Kabbalah's mitzvah. So the Gemara in Krisus and Daf Tes, even though that's not in the Gemara Krisus, but that's what we learn out, that our Geirus process is patterned after Maimon Har Sinai. Just like that involved Mila, Tvila, at that point Karbanos, and Kabbalah's mitzvahs, so too all future Geirim. And if you're a female, obviously no Mila, you need Tevila and Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So, and the Gemara goes into a discussion, are they all equal? Could you do one without the other? Could you do Mila without Tevila? So the conclusion of the Gemara is you need both. They're both equally important. One without the other is a no-go. Mo velo tavol ki ilo lo mal, and if you did Tevila without Mila, it's a no-go. So is there a specific order one has to do the process? Do I do tefillah first, or do I do milah first? Or it doesn't make a difference?
Tefillah before milah.
So, let's say it's a machlokes rishonim. We'll take the other side before we discuss obvious possibility. So many of the rishonim say that first you need Mila, and then you need Tefila. Why in that order? Why would I need Mila and then Tefila? Different reasons given in the Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rashba. One answer is a famous principle they borrow from other places in Shas. It's called Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado. Imagine going to the mikvah and holding a dead mouse in your hand. Or a dead sheretz. A sheretz is something which is metame, which causes tumah. So they explain is, they say that you have to do the milah, because the milah is before milah, you're an aral. Now used to be the big curse word back then, calling you an aral. Nothing lower than being an aral back in those days. I think we've moved on to different words. But during those days, aral was not a good word to be used on you, especially if it was true. So therefore, that was like being in a state of tuma. So that's, because imagine you come out of the mikvah and you're still an aro. How's that help? It's like tovel b'sheretz b'yado. I'll tell you where they use this as well, by tfilas kalim. We have another concept of conversion. Not only does the ger convert, but we convert his kalim. It's interesting, Avnei Nezer, that when the ger converts, his kalim become converted automatically. But we pass them like that sheet as a separate discussion. But Yerushalmi writes, just like a non-Jew converts, he becomes Jewish. So too, you want his vessels, his kelim also. So they go through a conversion process. So the question is, so normally tefilas kelim, we always assume is you buy a new kli, you go to, I don't know, you buy it on Amazon, Walmart, Target, wherever you go, I don't know. And you buy some kelim and you go to the mikvah, nothing to do with kosher, and it hasn't been used yet. And therefore, you have to immerse these kelim in the mikvah. What happens if, let's say you're a non-Jew, and now, so you ate non-kosher, obviously, and now you're converting. So not only do you have to go through tefilas kelim, but you need hagolas kelim. You have to kasher the utensil. So it doesn't make a difference what order you do it in. You definitely need both. You need to kasher it, and you need to tovel it. Let's say someone's tovel and then kashering it. So some rishonim say it's a no-go. Why? Tovel v'sheretz b'yado. How could I be tefilas kelim? I'm entering it's like the final part of the conversion. So, and that's what the Ritva writes. Not because of tovel v'sheretz b'yado. Other rishonim write, the time you walk out of the mikvah, you got to be a Jewish the moment you come out of the mikvah. If you're not Jewish, if all the components of the conversion has to be done. So that's why many Rishonim say the order is li'ikuva. You must do Mila first and then Tefila. Whatever the reason, either because you have to walk out of the mikvah 100% the conversion, or because Tovah Be'er is the Yado. But many Rishonim say must be Mila and then Tefila. Comes along the Ramban, Nechmanides, and takes issue with Tosus and other Rishonim and says, he agrees, maybe you should do Mila first then Tefila, but he says if you do Tefila first then Mila, you're still a Yid. At least that's a simple reading of the Rabban. I'm not getting into the Chazon Ish now. But Tefillah and then Milah. What's his Raya? What's his proof? How do we know that it's good, but you just finished, see, we just had to see him at Shas, so you know all the Gemaras in Shas. What's the Gemara he quotes as a Raya that... as a raya that we see first, that even if though you do tefillah first and then milah, so it's actually a very contemporary issue today. It wasn't necessarily during the Ramban's time. I'll tell you the Gemara. It has to do with conversion. It has to do with a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant. A pregnant non-Jewish woman wants to convert to Judaism. So what's the order? She conceived as a non-Jew, then she goes to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, "Bina ein sarach tefila." The Gemara says in Yevamos that the child does not require immersion after. In other words, so the simple reading of the Gemara is the child becomes Jewish in utero. In other words, at the same moment, well, the Gemara goes through a lengthy discussion about a famous sugya in Shas, whether uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imo. Yeah, and other places. Yeah, so what meaning in English, it means, if I say uber yerech imo, that means the fetus is like her third leg. It's like, it's her. It's one person, and therefore, whatever works on her works on the fetus. What happens if you're in the opinion, uber, lav, yerech, imo, how does the conversion work? Last I checked, the baby's not touching the water. She's in the comfortable womb. So the Gemara has a principle, hainu, ribusa, don't worry. It's still a go because that's the normal way. In other words, that's the way the fetus is formed, is even though it's not physically touching, but if it's something which is done in a natural way, it's not a chatzitza. Another example the post can bring out is by tefillin. There's a whole discussion. I see many people have hair on their head, and I see someone put tefillin on top of the hair. Isn't that a chatzitza? Isn't hair a... So the answer, no. Hainu ribusa. It's normal. Hair grows on your head, so therefore it's understood. They used to call it the shtup when the people grow the hair long. And that, there's a further discussion among the poskim, if you could do that. But the normal growth of a hair, so the same thing here. So either way, there's a conversion process happening. So, but there could be a difference when the child's Jewish. If uber yerech imo, they become Jewish at the same time. Uber lav yerech imo, maybe not until later. But we'll get to that in a minute. But so what do we see from the Ramban? So let's assume it's a male inside. So the tefillah happened in the womb. And then, of course, he's a male. He has to get a milah, right? So we see the milah clearly is done after the birth, even though that gets into modern technology. Are you able to do milah in utero these days? If not now, maybe 10 years from now, you could. Might change some halachas here. Or it won't change halachas, but the application might be different or not. But according to some Rishonim, since it's impossible to do the milah, it's a go. That might be a modern technology change, perhaps. But getting back to the Ramban here, so what do we see the Ramban writes? That first tefillah, then milah. So we see, so what is the Ramban assuming? That there's a conversion going on, that the milah after the birth is not, either way he has to get a milah, but it's either getting a milah to finish the geirus, or if it's a milah l'shem mitzvah, then it's no raya. It doesn't have anything to do with... The fact that Ramban proves... The Ramban is assuming this is a milah l'shem geirus, and it's happening after the child did the tefillah already, and yet it's a go. The Gemara doesn't say you need another tefillah, because if you did a milah and then tefillah, if you did a tefillah then the milah, according to those showing, you got to do another tefillah, because it didn't work. So the Ramban clearly states... Definitely b'di'evid. He doesn't say l'chadchila. Why not? He agrees. Why not do a milah first and tefillah? But we see from this Gemara, he says that, and the Naaf Kamin also, if you do a milah for Shei Mitzvah, you have to wait to day 8. If you do a milah, so therefore he says, we see from here that that milah after tefillah works. So that's a major machlokes Rishonim, whether the order is likuva. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, therefore one should do clearly a milah first and then the tefillah. And if you do a tefillah then milah, perhaps one should do a poskim talk, maybe do another tefillah al tzafik, because it's a machlokas we've shown him. And it gets into the pshat. We'll have to continue tomorrow on this topic, getting into it further.
Thank you. All right. I think I'll bring five coffees.